I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
ACAST recommends.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
It is.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw, Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Welcome to One Ep is Life. Guys, Cypher Sounds is under the weather today. If you are a patron, you probably already could guess that, seeing as he sounded pretty under the weather on the Patreon that we did on Thursday when I was in Boston. He did not sound great. Then again, with Cypher, it's always a, you know, the man works so much and is moving around so much that I often think if I sounded like Sife right now, I would be laying down for the day. That's not really in Sife's DNA. So we are going to do today's show minus Cypher Sounds, but don't worry. Special guests such as Billy June will be on the show. Myself, questions from the Discord. Maybe I'll feel like randomly calling someone during it. There's a lot to do. I am currently at the summer residence out here on Long Island, sipping back on a Miller Lite. Miller is not the company that's currently under attack. That would be Bud. Budweiser under attack because of their social media spot or commercial using a trans social media influencer. And I have to say, of all of these stupid things I do not understand, the idea of getting legitimately mad that they decided to use a trans person with lots of followers to be in a spot of sorts. And I don't know, Billy, have you followed this at all? Have you seen what the actual spot was at first by any chance? Do you have any idea?
I didn't actually see it. I just read the article and I saw the Kid Rock video.
Was it do you know if it was a commercial though, or just like a social media campaign?
I think they just sent the person Bud Light to post.
It wasn't even like a commercial?
No, it wasn't even a commercial. I think it was like one of those like, oh, here, we're gifting you this.
Right, right.
Post about it.
Wow. If that's – see if you can find what the original thing is. That's okay. Even crazier. because the insane MAGA lunatics took this as basically Bud endorsing trans rights.
It was a
rights.
Partnership.
It was a brand partnership. That's it.
This month I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it.
Oh, so they made like a promotional thing.
Yeah.
And so in some ways it is celebrating the trans lifestyle, in that did they do it because she's celebrating a year of being a woman? Okay. And, or by the way, it could also be coincidental. It could just be that she has mad followers and they sent it and she's also happens to be celebrating it. How many followers does she have?
Oh, she has 2 million followers.
What's her name again?
Dylan Mulvaney. And she has 10.8 million followers on TikTok.
She's an American actress, comedian, TikTok personality. She's known for detailing her gender transition in daily videos on TikTok since early 2022. In October 2022, she spoke with Joe Biden at the White House about transgender rights. As of April 2023, Mulvaney had been 10 million followers, blah, blah, blah. So here's where you start getting into the nuts and bolts of what made the transphobes go crazy. She is mostly known for transitioning and being an outspoken trans person.
On social media.
On social media. Okay, so Bud says, you reach tons of people.
You can with your face on it.
Right. We're going to, by the way, the kind of crap that, like, I mean, dude, me, Laura, and Ebro have random things, you know, boxes of Pop-Tarts with us.
Oh, I know.
This is not an uncommon thing to do. So they said, we're going to send you some Bud with your face on it. She posts it. And then the right fringe right lunatics go insane and start shooting their Budweiser and refusing to drink it. And now Bud is being left for like millions of extra cans. And like at baseball stadiums, people aren't drinking the Bud. It's truly among the most insane things I've ever seen. Because essentially all Bud was trying to do was, like, you can draw a direct connection to her being trans, but really what they're doing is just giving someone of influence something cool. That's it. It's really not some sort of massive political statement. And God forbid they did say they support trans rights. What the people like it, that makes you not want to drink their beer. Dude, these people.
But it's also funny because a lot of them don't realize that there's a lot of beers owned by the same company.
Mm-hmm.
Because my friend works.
Budweiser owns tons of other microbreweries.
They own Stella. They own Corona. They own Beck's. I'm like looking it up now, but like Michelob. But like my friend Modelo, my friend works for a baseball team, mm-hmm. and he said like they've been having to do 2-for-1 with Buds because they're just
trying to get rid of the Buds that they have. Yeah.
Because people just aren't buying them.
But the funny part is they think this is all going to happen.
But people are still buying the same ones, not knowing it's the same company.
Correct. And so let me tell you something. Budweiser is going to be okay. Even if Budweiser didn't have the other brands, they would still survive this because of their Budweiser. Particularly considering they have so many other brands, you idiots don't even know you're buying their products. I just I can't wrap my head around it. And then another thing that I thought about this week was I stopped by the beach here on Long Island yesterday, and in New York, it was like probably a little too cool to get out there and sit on the beach and jump in the water. But, you know, the beach was crowded with people just sitting around. I'm not such a beach person that I need to go when water is not even in a possibility. So like I haven't really been on the beach. I just kind of been hanging by at our place, which is by the beach, et cetera. But not surprisingly, when I went down to the beach yesterday on Long Island and took a look around, it didn't take very long for me to spot a nice, proud, high, waving, Make America Great Again 2024 flag flying at the beach.
A 2024 one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Yeah. You got to be up. Now it's time. He's officially declared.
It's crazy.
What really struck me is like, I know, obviously, that A, on Long Island, there are a lot of people who feel that way. B, you probably couldn't go to a beach town in this country without seeing a lot of it. Like, I get that. Like, that's just kind of what beach towns are. Maybe you're not going to in like Montauk or Sag Harbor or like Bridgehampton, but for the most part, you're seeing it at beach towns across this country. It's just everyone goes to the beach. It is what it is. But here's the part that struck me, Billie June. Not that people out here have those ideologies, because we know that you can look at the numbers and see in New York, even though we look at it as like, wow, the Democrats crush in New York. I mean, that's still 40% that voted for Trump. Like, they're there.
That's wild.
And then, you know, a smaller percentage than that, that's probably super hyper into it and has a bumper sticker, a shirt, a hat, whatever. But the thing that really stuck with me was, what normal political movement or candidate makes people bring a flag among all the other crap you have to bring to the beach? Like, going to the beach is a pain in the ass. You got to bring, you know, hopefully you got a wagon with stuff in it. You got chairs you got to carry. You got food. You have kids. You have
sunblock. Don't forget my flag.
No. We got to bring the flag. And Billie June, with that flag, we got to bring whatever it is that we're mounting the flag on and sticking into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So we could, because it was high. It was like 15 feet in the air.
Oh, shit.
So like,
I thought it was like a little.
Oh, no. It wasn't like just above their head. It was up. Like, they were like, you know, they're literally, their flag was literally in the sand. I mean. And so I'm just trying to think of, like, there is not a thing. Like, progressives. There are progressives out there who love Joe Biden. There are a lot more progressives out there probably who like Joe Biden and just hate the alternative. There are progressives out there who really do feel strongly about Black Lives Matter. I know many people, friends and family, myself included, for a while at my apartment, who had a Black Lives Matter flag of some sort hanging at their house. Sign in their yard is very big. I don't know if you've seen those, Billie June, but in my parents' neighborhood, like, it's a big
thing. Where I grew up. It's heavy.
It's heavy. It's a good, I mean, it's, to me, it's a sign that you live in a good place. You see these signs in people's yards that say Black Lives Matter, particularly, of course, around 2020. And I do think it's important to note people are doing that, not even about specific.
I meant the opposite where I grew up.
Oh.
It's all the opposite flags.
Oh,
and no. Signs.
You're talking about red signs.
Lots of red signs.
What about blue signs?
Police signs.
Oh, you're talking about, well, what do you be specific? They're not listening to the podcast.
MAGA signs and pro police signs.
And the pro police signs, of the thin blue line.
That's where I grew up.
The thin blue line bumper stickers.
Yep.
So yeah, in my parents' neighborhood, it's basically like the only sort of signs you see, and they're probably not as many now in 2023, but in 2020 and 2021, the Black Lives Matter, you know, banners and like signs you stick in the ground were a lot of yards. Okay, even the people who feel that way, including myself, I'm not bringing it to the beach.
like
I get it. Okay, you have this thing, you feel really strongly about it, so you put it in your yard. I mean, listen, it takes a lot. Like, it really took a lot. It took literally upheaval in our country and these dramatic, horrific videos of people under attack that I went, you know what, I need to show people that where I stand on this issue, and I'm going to put it out my window. Okay, I'm going to take a sign to the beach and put it on a pole and
15 feet high.
Bro, the only thing that could make someone want to bring a sign to the beach is hatred. That's the only thing that could make you feel that strongly about an issue. It's sad because there are a lot of issues about love that, yes, we care and we feel that way and we feel the love, but not strong enough to bring it to the beach with us. You need to stick something in the ground, lug it to the beach, and stick it into the ground to let everybody there know what side you're on. Yep. And it's not an economic issue. And it's not some actual, and that's why I get frustrated when we say, like, oh, don't talk about politics. It's not really a political conversation. Like, I know there are going to be people, we're going to see comments this week in the Discord. Oh, Seif wasn't there. Rosenberg went on a political diatribe. It's not really political. Honestly, I swear to you, I couldn't tell you a lot about what Donald Trump's politics are.
I don't really talk about politics, and I'm not very into politics.
As much as it might surprise our listeners, I'm not really either. Like, I know about it based on my upbringing and have like a general basis, you know, in it, like some basic general understanding and awareness of what's going on. but I'm no political expert. The reason this issue fascinates me and upsets me is because it's racism. Like, it's just like, why else in God's name? You think I would actually bring a Joe Biden flag to the beach? And when I tweeted about this, I was like, yo, only MAGA people would bring a flag to the beach. Y'all are really weird. Someone commented back something like, oh, like you wouldn't bring a Joe Biden beach sign. I was like, no, I wouldn't bring a flag for any of the things I'm passionate about. I wouldn't bring a Hot 97 flag, a WWE flag, a political flag. I'm not bringing any of it to the beach.
You don't need a flag.
It's not part of what you need for the beach.
I own a lot of weird things. I'm a hoarder. You know that. Never a flag. I've never thought to myself, oh, I need that flag over there.
Oh, my God. Now, I will say, I don't agree with all my progressive friends. Listen, I understand why they do it, but I don't instantly make the association now with like an American flag is like practically seeing a Trump flag. There are a lot of people who feel that way. Like the second they see an American flag, they're like, oh my God, it might as well be a Trump flag. And I know there are some people out there listening to me like, what are you talking about? And there are other people listening going, oh yeah, that's how I feel. Here's the way I feel though. If you like Trump and you wave an American flag and not a Trump flag, your decision to not be able to go that far, it's a telling and important decision. You know what I mean? Like, first of all, I refuse to give the flag to one group of people in the country. Like, that's just fundamentally not how the country works. They don't get to have the flag. Just because most racist weirdos on Twitter love to have a profile with a flag in it or make the first word of their descriptor patriot, that doesn't make it true. They don't get to co-opt the entire thing. So I don't do that. But yeah, like my niece and nephew one day, I came home wearing a BBC ice cream thing that had a USA flag on it. And they were like, Monko, my niece and nephew call me Monko. They're like, Monko, why are you wearing an American flag? I was like, well, it's just on the thing that I'm wearing. They're like, you don't want to wear that. I was like, I'm American and it's Pharrell. Why? Who cares? Like, what? And it's because of this association that they've learned that that's the only wild people who have any interest in the flag are lunatics. But I refuse to do that. Even if, yes, am I the kind of person who waves American flags? No, I'm not. I distinctly remember my dad has an American flag and he would put it out on July 4th. He would hang it from the window on July 4th, which I thought was nice and fine. You know, whatever. Am I an everyday beach? Let me tell you something, Billy June. At these beach towns, people have to wave the damn American flag out the window every day. I don't know what it is about going to a beach town where all of a sudden, I guess, you know what? Life is nicer by the beach. Maybe it does make you feel a little more patriotic. But that was not what I even planned on talking about today, but it was something that I experienced yesterday and wanted to share with you. Another thing that I paid attention to this weekend was Ice Spice on the Taylor Swift record. Did you see that?
I didn't see that she was on the record, but I saw that she last night or two nights ago was at MetLife with her, which to me was pretty big. That was like a huge next level thing. Because I just watched your interview with Rory.
Uh-huh.
And you guys were talking about how there's like no one that people are saying is like the next thing. And then the next day that happened. And I was like, well, that means she's pretty much getting there right now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I would have already said even just during that conversation that I think that's a fair thing to say. Can you hear the song?
Yeah.
By the way, so I'm not a big Taylor Swift guy. Let me just say that right now. Like Taylor
Swift, not at all.
Taylor Swift is fine. I do like her melodies. Like right here, this part, the chorus, is a fire melody to me. The words, I think, are stupid. The words of the song, I think, are ridiculous. But I do think that particular chorus, when she gets to the chorus, I do feel the melody. but the lyrics are just oof. Karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me.
I don't like her. I'll be honest.
Oh, here's Ice Spice. And she about to pop up unannounced, like, and she never leaving you alone. Watch her put your ops on a throne. Got you waving pretty white flags. Flags. For that cash, thinking it'll save you. Now you switching up your behavior. It's okay, baby. You ain't got to worry. Karma never gets. Yo, that it's okay, baby is so rough. So I'm stopping it to say, we had a conversation on the morning show the other day about Ebro saying he was concerned about her taking this big a feature this fast. And I agreed 100%. I was like, I mean, listen, where do you go up from a Taylor Swift feature? You know? And Ice Spice has been big for what, 6 months? Something like that? You know, if you've been following her since Munch, then a year? Something like that? But it's a huge, huge look to get. Is what are you going to do with it? I love Ice Spice and find her to be cool enough that as mainstream as she is and as for the kids as she is, I voluntarily listen to some Ice Spice songs. Like I really do. Yeah. Do you say you do or you too?
No, I'm asking you do. Like
I do. Like I enjoy. I mean, it's not when I'm sitting there like, you know, wanting to hear hardcore hip hop. But when Natalie and I are like making dinner and want to throw on fun music, I will throw on Ice Spice records. And I played In Hamoud on my show when it came out, when the EP came out. Just because really? I wanted to support an, you know, burgeoning New York artist. So, like, I think Ice Spice is cool as shit. I think her brand is friggin' awesome. Obviously, her music's produced by DJ Enough Son.
That's so crazy.
There's a lot of things that, a lot of reasons I have to be rooting for Ice Spice, okay? But this verse was a rough one. Lazy, so I keep my head up, my bread up, I won't let up. Never. Promise that you'll never endeavor with none lesser. Ever, ever. I'll be dragging that wagon. Karma is a beauty, winning that pageant. Cause karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god. Karma is the... Now, if you're listening, you're not seeing it, but we're showing the video. And in the video, I don't know if you noticed, Billie Jean, when she's rapping, she looks uncomfortable. She doesn't have her normal swagger that she has in her videos.
She has to do what she wants.
Yeah, she has to do what Taylor and them think is right. She's following along. I'm sure the size of the video, everything about it was probably completely overwhelming. Okay. You know, I don't know what she would say about it, but I have to imagine if you're Ice Spice and you've shot your videos mostly uptown in the street, like in the Bronx, like being a normal person, just dancing, wearing jeans. And then in this, you have a whole, everything is just
green
a big
screen
deal.
And
it's a lot going on. It's all green screen, basically. And she looks super uncomfortable when she's rapping. The verse stylistically is weird. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have any sort of flow to it whatsoever. It's not great. And then, Billy, keep watching. Then they keep her in the video, and she looks so uncomfortable. Look. Breeze in my hair on the weekend. Come as a relaxing thought. At no point does she look like Ice Spice. I tell me if you know what I mean. She just never. The look in her eyes and face is just not what you've gotten to know so far. Like, it just doesn't look comfortable. I keep going. And the yes that for you is not sweet like honey. Karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me. Flexing like a goddamn acrobat. Me and Karma vibe like that. Now she's like connected to Saturn. And I don't know
this
what's Taylor connected to,
but
Earth, Jupiter. I don't know what it is. Hold on. You didn't even get to the awkward part. Hold on. Ask me what I learned from all those years. Ask me what I earned from all those years. Ask me why so many things, but I'm still here. Karma is the thunder rattling your ground. Karma's on your scent like a bounty hunter. And karma's gonna track you. Yeah. Step by step from town to town, sweet like justice, karma is the queen.
What?
Oh, there's Ice Spice in the clouds. Look, yeah. Clouds made of Ice Spice. I never noticed that before. She literally is in the clouds.
Wow. Karma takes all my friends to the summit.
Facts.
Karma is-
Facts. I'm sorry, that was really funny.
Yeah, She has a fax in the ad libs from Taylor. Hold on, let me get it again.
It's the queen. Karma takes all my friends to the summit. Karma is the guy on the screen. Coming straight home to me. Karma is my
boyfriend. Now, here's the part where, to me, I hate the image they have here. I don't know who approved this. Her sitting there while Taylor is like the one rowing their boat. And she's there almost looking like Taylor Swift's like helper friend. It's, tell me if you know what I mean. Watch.
Karma is the breeze in my hair on the weekend. Karma's a relaxing thought. Punching like the yes, that the you, it's not. Like-
Yo, do you see how awkward that last lip sync was? No face looks
these
like
these are
her.
All memes. This all looks very like it's gonna be memes tomorrow.
Yeah, like look how uncomfortable this is. Oh wow, a cup of coffee with a clock in it.
Karma is my bestie.
Karma is my bestie. Big ad lib. Anyways, we're not going to play much more Taylor Swift today. I think that's it, but I don't know,
I do,
man.
I do have something to say, though.
Now, oh, you do?
Hold there's on. All, there's a whole thing like going full circle for the past few weeks that we've been talking about. And now it kind of all just clicked with me while we were watching that video. It just so happens that you sent me an article a few days ago.
I did?
Or you told me to look up an article about a podcast and called The Adam Friedland Show.
Oh, yes, I did.
And it's a little strange that this article comes out 2 days ago or a few days ago trying to get the lead singer of the 1975 canceled because he made comments about Ice Spice on the podcast in February. But it just so happens that it becomes a controversy 2 days before this Ice Spice Taylor Swift video comes out and he dates Taylor Swift.
I don't think it's a coincidence, though. I hate to ruin your
point. No, I'm not saying it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's just a huge PR stunt.
Which part of it? You mean like
he was on the podcast in February.
Right.
No one noticed it until 2 days before this video comes out and song comes out. And then they turn into a big thing and he dates her.
But here's the thing. Here's where I'm going to push back against you. If you're Taylor Swift, if you're Team Taylor, why do they need that? Like, do they really need extra attention around this negative thing of her boyfriend seeming like a racist and a sexist? And by the way, as you dig down the rabbit hole of that dude, oh, he seems like a terrible guy.
What I'm saying is like, it just brings new people to go and watch that video.
But what I'm saying is they don't need new people. Dude,
she just wants more headlines.
I'm sorry, Billy June. I want to take
it. It just feels very weird that it happens to blow up on the internet like 2 days before this song comes out, but it was really in February. And a month ago, she started dating him. Like, it just feels very like purposely turned into a big deal.
I hear you. Purposely. I just don't see. I mean, I wonder if it was out there at all before. You know, like a few months ago, and then it just picked up and became a bigger deal again.
I didn't read about it in February. I didn't even see it. But it just seems strange it takes from February to now for it to hit headlines on the same day that, or 2 days after this happens.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't think they would want it. So if someone was doing it, I see now on my YouTube, Ice Spice on Kai Cenat on his live stream. Can I tell you how much Billy June? I'm so old, dude.
I don't even know who Kai Cenat is.
Kai Cenat is a huge YouTube Twitch / YouTuber.
Oh.
Whose videos are really big. They all look like this.
I'm getting old.
Yeah. You're starting to get into the demo of Wash too. And not to mention you're super old because you're into fucking stand-up comedy. It's like an ancient format at this point. Yes, it is.
I think stand-up's bigger than ever.
Maybe so, but still like the idea of stand-up is doing really well and it's translating well to social media, but being someone who's literally out in small comedy clubs every night, that is not typical of the...
I mean, I also work.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying you're removed from... You're not sitting home watching Twitch streams, and I don't think 16-year-olds are going to the cellar. Like, these are different worlds
altogether.
That's true. So this is this dude who's huge, who I only knew about like a month ago because of Complex or something.
Sub up, I changed, and now I am up. If you can't make the mods, I did my time.
Ice in the building, Cleo in the building. Yo, so what y'all been up to, though? Like, what y'all been up to?
This is my first time.
You are.
You liking it?
Working. Yeah.
You fuck with ATL?
What? ATL cool.
Okay. ATL cool. Okay. Well, from 1 to 10, though.
And like what, like... Okay, the food, I don't really know. I haven't.
You probably just haven't had soul food.
Tell me that.
You had soul food?
No, I haven't had soul food.
That's what I'm just keep trying to tell her. She didn't really even get into the food yet.
Yeah. But I feel like New York got more options, though.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, New York got more options, though. That's how I feel.
He's on his phone.
Way more different.
Reading the comments.
I'm Trinidadian and Haitian.
Join Young Boys Label Discord at discord.gg/nipperbroken.
Turn this off.
Bro, this cat is huge out here.
How many views does that have? 2.7 million views.
Of a live stream that's an hour and 2 minutes long. And by the way, all of his joints, all of his lives.
How many subscribers?
His live channel has 2.5 million subs.
Holy shit.
OnlyFans girls. He literally just puts whoever on, they come to his house. Which, by the way, that part I respect. There's Gervonta Davis, the boxer, is on there. That got 500,000. Lil Yachty plays unreleased music for Kai Cenat. But he's getting bigger and bigger people. 2C.
SZA. Or meeting SZA.
She gave birth on my stream. He had a woman. Someone gave birth on his stream. Bro, this is where we are at. And I'm not even like hating on the kid. I'm not saying the kid's not talented. I'm not saying in another generation he wouldn't have been awesome doing something else. Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't relate to the medium, and I'm never going to. And like I'm starting to accept that, like, I am going to probably be, for the most part, an old media guy. You know what I mean? And I mean, shit, podcasts are probably already old media at this point. They're barely new media. The new shit's really all this other shit. The Twitch Live, YouTube Live. Like, that's all. And whatever.
TikTok Live now.
TikTok Live.
Instagram Live. It's pretty wild.
Let me just put a button on the Ice Spice conversation. I still love Ice Spice. I hope everything goes well for her. I thought Ebro's point that he made on the show about, like, you got to watch out about having looks like this early was really a smart one. And in watching how she performs on the song, how she looks in terms of her discomfort in the video, I think who in the right mind could say we shouldn't do this, right? It would be very hard for someone on her team to be like, we're not ready yet. But I sort of feel like you might have wanted to be like, we're not ready yet. Like, let's get there. Now, can you tell Taylor Swift that? Like, can you say to Taylor Swift, like, dude, she loves you, but like, we don't think that this is her time yet. Her team, who I've heard can be pretty tough, could turn around to you and be like, really? It's not her time? Well, there's not going to be another fucking time. We want her on the song right fucking now. So then you have to decide, do you want to bet on yourself and be like, I'm already blowing up so big. Even if her team is acting that way, and I don't have any idea that that's what happened. I'm just saying, if it were to feel like you're pressured, if you bet on yourself, the pressure doesn't even matter if you get it right. Because even if at the time they say, this is your last chance, it may turn out to not be your last chance if you blow up big enough. There's still people are you're still getting hotter and hotter and hotter. What you're always risking is the moment of absolute crossover, like you can't get any bigger, coming too soon. Like, you know who's been a master of that? Drake is the ultimate master of, I still don't even think he's hit that ultimate, oh my God, you can't get any bigger moment.
You don't think so?
Well, I would wonder what it is. He never took a Bieber feature. I'm sure that conversation was, there was never a Bieber Drake, was there?
I feel like There might have been. Let me see.
I don't think there was. He did Rihanna records. He never did like a. I'm sure Drake has been offered the dumbest, biggest features ever. Oh, you know what the risky one?
No, he's had two.
What are they?
The DJ Khaled song, Pop Star.
Oh, Pop Star with
Khaled. And then
that doesn't really count.
And then Right Here.
What's Right Here?
Song. It's a Bieber song.
From what?
2012.
From 2012. Hey, listen, either way, if we don't remember, it obviously didn't serve that purpose. So it did fine. And Pop Star is different. That's a later Bieber, and they're just on a Khaled song together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like the riskiest one Drake did was the Michael Jackson feature when he put Michael on his album.
Yeah.
You love that song? Natalie loves that song. Of course, I was like, this is the Michael Denver. Anyways, I just think Drake's been a master at avoiding ever crossing too far over in that moment. And it's got to be really hard. If you're managing someone like Ice Spice and she's going crazy, here's the hard part, Billy June. Here's the hard part, Juan Eppers. Someone like Ice Spice, what's making her so hot is how authentically like regular she is.
Yeah.
So like, yes, she doesn't look regular, right? Like she's hot and she's got this unique hair. She has a look that's clearly put together, but really what's connecting the most is the way that she talks and how she acts. And when you take that aggressive, like Taylor Swift, I mean, listen, the Nicki move was, the Nicki feature was not my favorite thing already. I did not love that video with Nicki.
That's pretty big too.
And that was a pretty big deal too. And like, I thought that video was, it was okay. I understand why you can't say no, or maybe why you just straight up want to do it. I don't really envy the position of management here trying to figure out what to do. But anyways, we wish Ice Spice the best. Speaking of envy, oh my God, did you see any of the cringe shit this week with Envy and Rick Ross?
Rick Ross. I thought it was someone else too.
I only saw Envy and Rick Ross.
Saw who was making fun of him?
Making fun
Gunplay.
Well, my guess is that's Gunplay. You're saying making fun of Envy?
Yeah, he was on Rick Ross's side. Video leaked of Envy speaking on the phone with him. He was ready to apologize for some of his past comments that Gunplay obviously took to heart, and he didn't want to hear it and continued to lash out. He said, "Why are you talking crazy?"
Billy, I have to tell you, you do a lot of things poorly, but trying to read through a story is among the worst.
I shouldn't have. Yeah, whatever.
So hold on. Let's see. Hold on. Here it is. I'm seeing something right here. I'll slap the shit out of you, Gunplay.
Oh, because he was saying something about his baby who was sick.
So real quick, before we play the Gunplay thing, which I didn't know about, basically Rick Ross and DJ Envy started having some back and forth about car shows. I don't know. Envy does a car show. Rick Ross does a car show. Who gives a shit? I love, you know, love Rosé. I'm not a car show guy. I don't understand the beef. It's great. Envy has tons of people come to his car shows. So does Rick Ross, blah, blah, blah. So they start going back and forth. And Rick Ross says some shit to Envy about your kids can come, like, take care of my house and be my pool boy, all this kind of shit. And this is the only thing I really want to speak on. And by the way, I just want to say clearly to the Juan F. heads, you guys have heard me talk a lot of shit about everyone from the Breakfast Club. I never go after Envy because he's a nice guy and we've never had anything but a nice enough and friendly enough relationship. Envy, though, dresses up as a cop, as a corrections officer. And goes in like doing a fake accent and like trying to make fun of Ross and be really funny. Yo, Billy, I have never seen someone step out of their lane more. It is so cringe watching Envy try to be that guy. Cause like Envy's whole brand is that around someone like Charlamagne who does all these dickish things, Envy's the nice guy. Like to me, that's what the whole brand is like good DJ, loves music, is the straightforward guy, family guy. And when Charlamagne's a dick, Envy's cool. So him dressing up as a corrections officer and trying to be ultra funny felt like such an uncomfortable step, And this just popped up on my timeline. I'm like, all right, let me watch what this bullshit is. Anyway, so this now extra part, I have no idea what led to Gunplay saying something to Envy, but now that Billy June, a.k.a. I'm trying to come up with some creative nickname for you as a hip-hop gossip blogger.
Just because I found it on a... Yeah, I saw it online.
That's right.
I saw it on Instagram, too.
All right, here we go. So this... Well, listen, you know this is real story because you see what the YouTube channel is. When you see it on the real Feel TV, you know it's real news. Okay? By the way, they have 118,000 subscribers. I'm not laughing at you, okay?
Yeah.
Let's hear the Gunplay thing. Here we go.
Gunplay.
Yo.
Yo, Envy on the phone.
Yo, Envy.
Play with that, bro.
What's up, man?
How's everything with you?
I'm blessed beyond belief, man. Everything is good, man. Why are you talking crazy, man?
Talk crazy about who?
About me, my brother. What I had to do with anything, man, and my wife posting a GoFundMe, man. What that? My baby was sick, man. She had a heart defect, my brother. Why has nothing to do with cars? You know I'll slap the shit out you, boy.
I wasn't talking about your baby.
Nah, you was. Envy, I'll slap the Envy, for real. Envy, for real. You know I'll slap the shit out of you, right? For that. You know that, right?
We ain't doing all that.
No. No. I want to be clear. I want to be clear here. You know I would slap the shit out of you about that, right?
And then we can fight, but that's not the reason I'm saying that. See,
nah, it ain't going to be a fight. It ain't going to be a fight.
Let me finish.
Nah, it ain't going to be a fight. Envy, it ain't gonna be a fight, dog.
If I wanted to disrespect, I wasn't trying to disrespect.
But you did. Why'd you bring me into that?
I wasn't talking about.
Why did you bring me into that, Envy? And so I'll be wrong. So I'll be wrong if I'll be wrong to handle my business then, right?
But what's your business? I'm having a conversation with you. If you feel like you, I disrespected you, I'm talking to you like a man. I'm like, nah, I would never. And if you feel I did, I apologize. That wasn't my intention.
Well, I need a public apology because that my wife is affected by that. My brother, we sat in that hospital for 28 days, homie. That shit was some real shit. That shit had nothing. It ain't even about the money. You know what I'm saying? My wife is in panic mode. My wife put that up, and this is what it is. And that's how she felt, she was in panic mode. I told her to chill, but it's cool. We did a GoFundMe. That ain't nothing, my brother. So don't bring my child into this, my nigga, because then we gonna be having bad blood, dog.
And if you felt that way, I apologize. That wasn't what I was trying to do. And I fuck with you. So
that's what I'm saying, right? That's
I apologize.
Thank you, my brother.
I mean, that's not a bad, Listen. Did Envy start talking a little high pitched? Yeah, so would I if Gunplay was on the phone telling me he'd smack the shit out of me. Yeah. I think Envy handled that great. I'm sorry. I take zero. I don't know if there's more to it than the 2 minutes we just heard. And I have no idea what Envy said in the original post. So, but in terms of just the piece we heard, you have Gunplay on the phone saying, you know, I'll smack the shit out of you. I thought Envy actually handled that pretty well. But it does sum up the fact that I said he was stepping into a space that's not his own. That's how you end up getting involved in other extra shit you don't want to be a part of.
Exactly.
Because now you're stepping into, like, now you're being the funny man shit talker about Rick Ross. Before you know it, you're going into a space you really don't want to be in. But I didn't think that was that bad, all things considered.
I think it just came up because they're related and there's a lot going on with his name.
I saw an Ebro Twitter post, which is not something generally worth note, considering Ebro posts somewhere between 300 and 400 times a day. But he posted something about it was the someone hit him up and said it was the 5-year anniversary of story of Adidon.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Time flies. You're having fun, huh? Does that sound right? May 2018?
I guess so. I remember. What was the other one that he dropped? There was one more that he dropped, Push. Because I remember I went to Governor's Ball and Pusha T was performing and it was during all of it. And that was like mid-June or first week of June. So it's close.
Well, either way, he posted something about that. And in Ebro fashion, someone sent it to him and he reposted it. And then he added commentary to it. Which was, I gotta scroll back. Yeah, scrolling back through Ebro's timeline could take time.
Oh, I found it. Major L shifted the universe.
Yes. Okay, so what's the quote under that led to him? And now I see there's a lot of follow-ups of him cleaning up on some level.
He said Major L shifted the universe, put a ceiling on Drake's legend.
Yes. So, okay, real quick. Up North Trips posted 5 years ago today, Pusha T released the story of Adidon. Ibra retweets it and writes, Major L shifted the universe, put a ceiling on Drake's legend. That tweet now has 1,400 retweets and nearly 5,000 likes, 562 comments. He's going to be in here in 2 weeks asking us, me and Laura and Shawnee, why does Drake not fuck with me? Do you realize that no matter what you write to follow that up, when you decide to put on Twitter so it just lives there, Major L shifted the universe.
And a million people probably already screenshot it too. It's never going away.
Put a ceiling on Drake's legend. Like, first of all, Major L, that would have been fine if he just said Major L. Shifted the universe, how? How did the universe shift? Like, it was an amazing moment. And it was great for Push. I would say shifted Push's universe. But you know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Here's what makes Ebro's point on this wrong. It was a huge win for Push. It wasn't that big an L for Drake. I'm just sorry. It wasn't. We're sitting here later. How was it a big L for Drake? And then put a ceiling on his legend? I don't know.
Now he's public with his son everywhere.
Did
if anything, it helped him.
Yeah. Did it put a ceiling on Jay-Z's legend when he lost with Ether? It doesn't make any sense. I love Ebro, man. People just tweet words. Now, Ebro's a really good talker, so tomorrow I'm sure when I bring this up, he'll talk his way out of it and make it sound like it's not that. Someone said to him, did Ether put a ceiling on Hove's legend? Just curious. He wrote, it did. No, it didn't. A ceiling? You know what it is? Maybe we're having an argument about the way you use words. Ceiling is not the word.
Yeah.
What is this? There's no ceiling to Jay's legend. There is none. And so far, there's no ceiling to Drake's either.
Not at all. You told me to look for some questions from the patrons.
Oh, yes. What are we seeing?
I found two that one relates to you and one is just a general one. The one for you is, how do you balance making your personal life public but still having it private enough that you're not being harassed about your personal life? At least from the outside looking in, lots of people have made their private life public. But I don't think you get enough credit for how much you share without turning your life into an episode of The Real Husbands of Hip Hop, LOL. Are you able to explain that?
Who is that?
GameCube Dat Dude.
Oh, I love GameCube Dat Dude. Well, I don't think people care about my life enough. Problem solved. I mean, really, I think the only time I ever was really concerned about shit going too off the rails was when shit had went really left and I didn't want it to publicly get out there because I knew something would, like, I knew that even though people didn't really care about my personal life, I did know they'd care if there was something really sort of negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So that was the only time I was super careful besides that. Otherwise, you know, what do people really know? People really know. Listen, they know enough for me to be able to share what my life is like. I'm comfortable saying that I'm in love with Natalie and that I love my dogs and that I'm getting married and that I want to have children. You know, I had problems in the past. I was divorced. Don't know if you know that. You know, and I have other more personal stuff that I want to get to around that stuff that I hope to do on a future podcast. But like, I just don't think that people care enough. I really, maybe it would be messy if like every time I did that, there were lots of articles about it or something. And every time I said like, like I've hinted on this podcast about being in 12 step and being in recovery and stuff. I've never gone into details on it, but I've said it to the audience. If you pay attention, you can hear it. I'm not lit enough for that to get written about. You know, so I'm fine. If like, okay, if this podcast was hotter and people actually cared and someone was like, oh, the Rosenberg says blah, 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 what happened? Maybe that would bother me. I think I'm at a really comfortable place of being cared about by the people who actually care, but I'm not really cared about by people who don't care.
I get what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there are other people who like, people don't even care about them, but if something shitty happens or if they reveal something, they care enough. I don't think I'm in that category. So,
okay.
I should say this before you get to the next question. What did you think of our guy Rory's baby rollout during his album rollout?
I honestly thought I was shocked, but also I was like, good for you. And he's very honest about it. And like,
well, what's not to be honest about though?
No. I like that he said his whole reasoning why he didn't say anything.
Oh, because he didn't know what he was doing yet.
Yeah. I respect the shit out of that.
Yeah. I think it was a good reason to not. I also think it was 100% tied into his album rollout. So the funny part to me is, and Rory, I love you. I will say this directly to your face. I didn't say it during the interview because I'm not going to like bust his balls during the interview. He kept talking about like the thing, the line from Story of Adidon.
Yeah.
About how Drake's kid only, you know, got an Adidas.
Yeah.
What was it? An Adidas campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I would only be so lucky. Bro, your kid got an album rollout. Yeah. That is exactly, I mean, that the baby announce was the week of the album announce.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, it was pretty smart. And you were going to do it anyway because he hosts a podcast. So at some point he had to, with the popularity of Rory and Mal, he would have to reveal it to make the podcast authentic. So why not do it around the big album release?
Congrats on the baby and the album release.
There you go.
They're both congrats great.
To young Rory. You don't know that his baby's great. You've spent no time with that baby. That baby could be out here.
I meant the album. I meant the album.
The baby could be out here attacking people. You don't even know. Yeah. I meant the baby. It's a gorgeous child. All right, go ahead.
Nice. What do you guys think of the topic of AI robot rappers? Like their Capitol Records just signed one.
I don't even know what that means. Whether they signed one. I've heard that was going to happen. I don't know what the fuck that means. You know what I mean?
It's like a fake. It's like an online. They look like a person. They rap like a person. They got signed to a record label. They don't exist. They're a robot, an AI created thing. It's weird.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I don't even know. Yo, I so many people bring up the AI and music stuff to me, and I just all I can think about it is this is not the important thing about AI. Like, this, the music part of AI, like it's going to have some impact for a while and people are going to try to fuck around and do different things with it. Maybe someday someone will figure out a really cool thing to do with the technology. Like, let me put it this way. I think it could be cool to see the way Madlib would rap as another person, as Quasimodo, and put an effect on his voice.
Have you been seeing those? Not that specific one, but people are doing that now with like Biggie.
Yeah, but what I mean is not Biggie. Like, if you were able to, though, do duets with a character that you kind of create that's not real, that could be cool.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what already you were doing with someone like Quasimodo. But the idea of, like, all this concern around, you know, dead rappers getting features and people, I just, like, you guys are missing, I think, with all due respect, people are really missing what's scary about AI. It's not going to be fake rap features. Like, there's a lot more going on than the fake rap features.
It can do your job for you.
There you go. That's one, Billy. Changing
literally
flipping the economy upside down and taking people's livelihoods. That would be one.
It's already doing it.
All right. What else you got?
That was really there weren't that many questions.
Okay. So Billy, are you prepared to open up the Discord this week to the public?
I need to talk to John still.
What is John going to do again?
He knows how to use Discord really well, and I need him to make the private.
Well, can you do that between now and the podcast releasing tomorrow? Because I think this is the week to we go public.
I can text him right as soon as we're done recording.
Text him right now. Do me a favor, Billy June. Text him right now instead. Because I will tell you, I do not trust you when it comes to the I will have a conversation with so-and-so. That is the one. I'm not going to go full scythe on you, But that is the one thing I do not trust you on is I've been hearing about your roommate who's going to light our room for 3 years already. I don't know that he's even a real person.
He is. He's downstairs watching TV.
So ask him tomorrow if he wants to come with you and help you figure out lighting. Although tomorrow it's going to be bright. Actually, we could still use help probably. But yeah, so if you're getting this, check the description of the podcast wherever you get the podcast. And if Billy was able to figure out with John how to go public with the Discord, I would like us to open the Discord this week. I think it's time for the OneApp community to kind of all come together as one thing. We are limiting our own growth and fun and good vibes, I think, by not allowing everyone to converse. And for the people who pay on Patreon, if John can set up a place for them specifically to be and they can have their own Patreon conversations and talk about Patreon things, that's dope. But why should the OneApp Discord be limited to how many people are in the OneApp Discord right now? How many even exist of our 700 some patrons? That's the question.
Like 375.
So like half of the people who sign up for Patreon.
Yeah.
And Billie Jean, are we working on giving people a like a 10-day demo of Patreon as well?
A 7-day free trial. Yeah.
7-day free trial. That. And if they get the free trial, once we set that up, that would allow them to check out everything that exists on Patreon
for 7 days.
You know, what's pretty dope about that, though, in terms of trying to win over new patrons.
You got a shit ton to listen to.
I was going to say, at this point, it's not just that you're getting weekly. It's that how many back episodes of Patreon do we have now? Like 100? You can unlock a lot. Let's see what it says. 159 posts. So some of those won't be episodes. A few of those will be videos or like
some of them are like announcements.
Yeah. But let's say out of the 159, Billie Jean, let's just call it safe. Let's say 120 of them are episodes.
Yeah.
That's probably safe, right? That's a lot of content. So that's patreon.com/OneEpIsLife. Now, assuming Sife is fully better by tomorrow, we are recording an episode that everyone's going to be very excited about for next week. Here's the hint I'll give you. It's someone who has been on OneEp before, but who has stories for days and weeks and months and years, and you will want more from. You think that's a safe way to describe this person, Billy?
1,000%.
He's done 2 or 3 episodes with us in the past, and another one is needed. So inshallah, we will knock that out tomorrow, and that's what you'll get next week. But for now, go check the listing wherever you got. So here's what I want, Billie Jean. Here's the one that's important, though. We want to put the Discord invite for people in places where true OneApp fans will find it. So like in the description of this episode.
We can do that.
You know what I mean? Or in our bio on the OneApp is Life IG.
The link tree.
The link tree, things like that. We really don't. What I don't want to do is just like tweet it, put it in a YouTube video. I want it to be found by the people who actually we want to be participating in the Discord. So look in the description on Spotify or on the podcast app on Apple, wherever. And if it's up there, come join the Discord. If not, we'll figure it out for next week, but hopefully we do. There was some other stuff I wanted to get to today. Oh, no. Drake, Ice Spice. Flags on the beach.
You went to the Celtics game after you talked about it on Patreon.
Oh yeah, I went to the Celtics game. It was incredible. And then like somehow my game was retroactively made even better by how iconic the next game was.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
1,000%.
I had a great experience that was made better. And if they win tonight, then it makes my going. It goes up another level.
It's gonna be crazy.
It'll be.
I'm excited to watch.
Billy, I wonder how much tickets are. I'm gonna look right now. How much do you think tickets are
right now?
I wonder how much tickets are to sit in the area where I sat for the last game. Let's see. I'm looking right now. Home game 4. See tickets. Here we go. All right. I'm looking for my section. I was Loge 11.
The lowest price ticket on Ticketmaster is $650 for tonight.
$650?
On Ticketmaster resale.
Where's that? Where's $650 get you?
Balcony 326, row 10.
All right, in Loge. Okay. Okay, row 16. So 5 rows behind me. Okay. The resales are $5,499.
Holy shit.
A few rows in front of me are 7,000. That's for resales.
That's wild.
And I see now, if you wanted to go sit in the third row, 10,000. Row B, VIP 11, row B, 10,000 a ticket.
That's insane.
Anyways, by the time you're hearing this, they either won or they lost. I'm really hopeful that they won. We appreciate you guys. Sife, get better. Shouts to Emilio. And of course, go look for the link in the description. Billy June, thank you. You're a great guy. And we'll do it again next week.
See you guys.
Oh, wow.
Join the Patreon.
Oh.
Rate, subscribe, and review and share.
Oh, Billy's getting all the stuff in.
With everybody.
Wow.
Tell all your friends.
Keep going. Listen to this guy.
I think I'm done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.